My guest at this time is Leighton Stewart, who is a geologist, environmentalist, author of the book Fire, Ice, and Paradise, and an expert on the issue of climate change. He is also one who is strongly critical of the movement led by Al Gore and others, suggesting that human activity is largely responsible for the fluctuations in the Earth's climate. And Mr. Stewart, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Greg.
Well, a couple different stories in the news in the past few days about climate change. First of all, referring to the former vice president, he gave a rather R-rated speech, as just basically saying he's fed up with those who suggest that man-made climate change is not happening. It's not a huge problem, and we don't need to act decisively and in a major way. What do you make of his tactics in addressing the issue like this?
Well, his tactics have been to get up and shout about all of the scientific background they have on all of this and all the different people that believe what he believes. But they are completely ignoring a 300-year-old way of looking at things. The scientific method says that you are supposed to go and test any hypothesis. And, Greg, that's all this is. It's a hypothesis that man-made CO2 is causing global warming. And Mr. Gore and others have failed to give the test to that, which is you must go and look at empirical evidence. And when you look at the empirical evidence from Earth's past climates, it does not support CO2 being any kind of a significant impact, having a significant impact on global warming. It just doesn't. So they're ignoring that test. That's one reason that he will pick and choose where he goes and talks. He will go where he will not have a debate with anybody, because he cannot have a debate, because as soon as you cut through a question or two with him, he would bleed to death. He cannot back up their, you know, their assertions.
Mr. Stewart, in terms of what the empirical data currently shows, we know that particularly in the late 90s, but even since then, have been some of the hottest years on record. Other indicators have suggested that we're at least in a cooling trend, if not still on the warm side of things, but that it is heading in a cooler direction. Where are we right now?
Temperature is reasonably stable, slightly trending down for the last 10 years or so. CO2 levels are continuing to rise rapidly. That is one thing. When, Greg, I'm a geologist, and we were taught in geology school to look back at what had happened to Earth in the past to be able to understand why it is like it is today, and in fact, why, what it might look like tomorrow. So I've just applied these same principles to go back and see, well, what were Earth's old climates like, and what was the CO2 level at the time, et cetera. And in doing that, and looking at all of those, you see that the temperatures are certainly not unprecedented, because the temperatures were higher 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 6,000 to 8,000 years ago, and CO2 levels were much lower than they are today. And so that kind of rings a bell with you right there, looking at that empirical evidence. Also, the rate of increase that everybody got so excited about in the 80s and 90s, we had at least that rate of increase from 1910 to 1940 before any significant amount of CO2 went in the atmosphere. From 1860 to 1880, it was steep. From 1715 to 1735, it was probably steeper than any times. And this was before the Industrial Revolution and man started putting any CO2 in the atmosphere. So as we go through all of those things, including looking at the ice cores and finding out that the temperature changes and then several hundred years later, the CO2 levels follow, a cause does not follow an effect. So it's just all this empirical evidence that absolutely causes this hypothesis to fail, this empirical evidence test, and it says that the hypothesis is false. All of these catastrophic forecasts are coming from models, climate models, and brand new data that's just been out within the last couple of weeks has shown that when Dr. Spencer down at the University of Alabama, Huntsville, looked at all the satellite data that was measuring the amount of heat that was coming out of Earth's atmosphere and into outer space, they found out that that amount of heat escaping Earth's atmosphere is much higher than any of the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, any of their models were showing. Much more was escaping to space. It's not getting trapped, as they predicted, up in the atmosphere where our CO2 is accumulating. So that tells you right there that they've been using way too high a sensitivity factor of Earth to what CO2 is doing to it in the way of warming.
Are you sensing a major trend in public opinion, Mr. Stewart? Is that perhaps one of the reasons why this got so emotional for the vice president?
Yes. He realizes he's losing. People can understand empirical evidence, which is just going back and looking at what has happened in the past. It's just like old Winston Churchill said, the farther backward you look, the farther forward you're likely to see. And that's exactly what works on this. And the models have not been right now for 23 years since James Hansen there at NASA testified before the Senate back in 1988. None of his models have turned out right. They are using way too high a sensitivity factor of Earth to CO2, be it man-made or be it natural.
Now, the issue, of course, was a major one in the previous Congress. It's one of the few major pieces of legislation that the president did not get done on the cap-and-trade legislation, although many critics of his would argue that it's being implemented anyway to the Environmental Protection Agency. In terms of the goals of what they want to do here in implementing changes for emissions and so forth to reduce our carbon footprint and reduce temperature over time, what exactly is their goal? How much of a change do they even admit that they could effect through what they want to do, and how do you measure that?
If we put in, let's say, the Kerry Lieberman cap-and-trade kind of a bill, if that had passed, by the year 2050, if the United States had done that unilaterally, which would have been to reduce the amount of CO2 emissions by 83% by 2050, it would have only made one-tenth of 1 degree centigrade or two-tenths of a degree Fahrenheit by 2050, and we would have probably spent trillions of dollars trying to get there and make those reductions. There's no common sense in that at all.
Sir, we'll keep following. As always, we appreciate your time.
Well, you bet, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Leighton Stewart is a geologist, environmentalist, author of the book Fire, Ice, and Paradise, and one of the leading scientific voices being skeptical of the push towards a consensus on man-made climate change through CO2 production. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.